This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
If you have your message, I'll take that out. Today is a wonderful thing to know that it is a day the Lord has made for us. It is a new day here. It's a new day in God's world. And He never changes. He never changes at all. He is always the same every single day. And if you hadn't had a chance, go ahead and pull up the message notes for today on your app, or you can go out in the hallway and there's a paper copy. We've been trying to do this series because we're talking about the promises of God. We want you to have those, to be able to circle them or hang on to them or use them throughout the week to remind yourself of who God is and the fact that He does not change, He is not going anywhere, and that you can fall back on His promises and you can rely on His promises and you can be changed by His promises and your life can be different because of His promises. So that's what this series is about. So go ahead and pull it up, find it back there. And as we get started today, this is one of my favorite times of year. I don't know about you guys. We're in the fall. I love the changing of the leaves. It's beautiful outside. The temperature is better. It's good to get outside and just enjoy. But it's also a prime time for sports, for those that are sports fans. I mean, we're in the baseball playoffs, football season's going, basketball's about to begin. I mean, it's just like that prime time. And the thing I love about sports of any kind is I love just the clear objectives of sports, right? Back in March for baseball, their objective, their vision, their mission was to make it to the World Series. And now that field is just limited down. It's going to shrinking down. There's only a few teams left. My Braves went out yesterday. I'm still a Braves fan, but they're kind of out of it now. But they were having this vision of World Series. That's where we're heading. And when you get down to this time of year, it's simply like get the next out. Get the next guy on base, get him over, score. It gets very, very clear. We have a mission to accomplish. This is how you accomplish it. You can do that with any sport, right? Football, we're going to head toward the Super Bowl, or we're heading toward the national championship. You're a college guy or lady, and you're just going, okay, this is very, very clear. This is the mission to win, to accomplish, whatever it is, and this is how we get there, right? It's very, very simple, and I love that. I love movies and TV shows about mission. I mean, you go back to Mission Impossible. It's very, very clear. Get the team together. We're going to solve this problem. We're going to run into all kinds of issues. But at the end of the day, we have something we have to accomplish, have to get it done. I mean, it's really simple. Wizard of Oz, got to get Dorothy home, right? The rom-com people, here's your mission, right? We got to get this couple together before this thing ends because we can't have them go different ways. And nobody would watch if they don't get together at the end. So we got to get through all this stuff to get there. That's the mission. That's where we're going. Even the top movie this summer, Maverick, was all about a mission, right? If you guys saw that, if you didn't, I'm going to ruin it for you in case you didn't know. Tom Cruise is in it. There's a group of people that have to accomplish a mission at the end. They accomplish it. But you didn't guess that, huh? And that's what makes it satisfying. You got to get to the end. You accomplish the mission. You're there, and you're directed there. And I think the reason I love that, and so many people do, and so many people are willing to pay money to see these things and to experience it, because I think in our human heart, we all want to be part of a greater mission. We all want to have our lives be useful for something, to be able to have a clear-cut vision. This is where life is going. This is what God has for me. God has a plan. It's all coming together, and I'm excited about that. We all want that, I believe, because we, at the end of the day, we go, there's got to be a reason I'm here. We were talking to someone yesterday. And they go, I don't know my purpose. I don't know my purpose in life. I'm still trying to find it, and especially for this season. And I think that's just a human nature thing. What is your purpose? What is your direction? What's your mission? And what's your vision? Because it starts with a vision. Now, our key verse for this season right now in this series is Isaiah 43:19. I want to go back to that. God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah, and he's talking about what he wants to do through the Israelites. And God says this, for I'm about to do something new. So there's a new thing coming. There's a new way to move forward. I'm about to do something new. I'm going to head you in a different direction. And then he says this, see, I have already begun. It's already happening. God is at work out there in the world. He's accomplishing things. If you can't see it, it's still there, and it's happening around you. And he says this, do you not see it? Do you not have a vision for it yet? If you don't, just keep paying attention. God is moving forward. He's going to show it to you. Do you not see it yet? Then he says, I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will lead you forward. There is a direction I want you to go as a people and as an individual. I'm going to make a pathway, and I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. There's going to be a time of refreshing as you go. I'm going to take care of you. So in your life, I'm going to ask you a question. What is the vision that God is giving you for your life, for different areas of your life? What's your God-given vision? Maybe if you're married, God has given you a vision for your marriage. And you have a picture after reading the scriptures, you're going, okay, this is what a Christ-centered marriage should look like. This is how we should talk to one another. This is how we should sacrifice for each other. This is how we should respect each other. This is how we love each other. This is how the daily life goes along. This is how we pray together. I mean, kind of get a picture for that, right? Because in our imagination, in our minds, this is how God works. He gives you a picture for it. Can you picture a marriage that God would want for you, for those that are married? If you have a family, what is your God-given vision for that family? How do you react to one another? How do you talk? What do you do together? What do you share? How do you respond? When you get angry, what do you give back to the other person? I mean, how does that work? How do you ask for forgiveness? You should have a picture in your mind of what does that look like, right, before you head out. For those of you that are still working, if you're not retired and you're at a job, what is your vision for your job? Like, how do you live out your Christ-given mission at your job? How do you interact with your customers, your clients, your fellow employees? What do you say to them? How do they see Jesus in you? Have a picture for that. So when you walk in on Monday, you're going, this is how I respond to people. This is how I act. This is what it looks like. To know in advance is powerful. We have a lot of teachers here at Bridges, a lot of people in education. And you go into that field because you have a vision, right, for what your life is going to look like and what those children, what those students are going to be like after they're done with your class. Are they going to be more skilled in an area, be more equipped? Are you going to instill character into them? And how do you do that? And what do those students look like when they're done? I mean, when they're finished with school, what do you want them to look like? What kind of people do you want them to be? That's a vision from God. And the big vision I think he gives for all of us is what kind of people are we to be? Can you see the kind of person that God wants you to be? I mean, if you read scripture at all, you know some pictures, right? A person of integrity, a person of responsibility, of loyalty, a person that's centered on Jesus, a person who desires to see their neighbor do well and then love their neighbor. Can you picture that? How does that work? Can you kind of like use your imagination that God has given you to kind of see this is what it means to be Christ-like with the righteousness of Christ in your life as he pours into you? Do you have a picture for that? Of course, we fail at times. We don't always live up to the picture, but it starts with a vision, right? It starts with an understanding of this is what it looks like. And then here's the big one for us that are Christ followers. What's your vision for your relationship with Jesus? Do you have one? If it was perfect in your life, what would it look like? Would it be like, I'm just going to go wherever Jesus calls me to go? Picture your prayer life. What would it look like if it was what you want it to be? You're in prayer, you're just talking to God. And there's a peace there, and there's a confidence there, and there's a faith there. And how do you respond to problems in your life in your relationship with Jesus? And that vision, like, I'm just good. I just trust him so much that I'm not going to get worried. I'm not going to get anxious. I mean, what's your vision? Kind of picture. Let God pour into you. And God says, look, I'm already doing things around you. Can you not see it? Proverbs 29, verse 18, a lot of people know this verse. It says this in the King James. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Where there's no revelation from God, which is what many other translations say, the people are unrestrained. In other words, when you don't have a revelation from God, when you don't have a picture to follow, when you don't have a vision from God, people just do their own thing. Isn't that what our world's like now? People just do their own thing because they don't have a vision from God. Go this way. In this series of the next week and this week, we're going to break down some things. It's going to be like a series within a series. And what I want to do the next couple of weeks is to sit down and go, what are some key principles from God? What are some key promises from God that we can look at to go, okay, God, what do I need to do and what I need to be to accomplish the vision that you've given me for my life? So there's going to be six that we're going to look at over the next 2 weeks, three each week, and kind of break it down, and we're going to share some promises that I think you're going to need to take these promises. I'm going to need to take these promises because it won't always be easy. And we're going to say to God, okay, these are your promises, so help me move forward in life. Because God wants to do something new in all of our lives. So six promises, three this week, three next week. Let's start with the first one on your outline. Number one, I can trust God to do this. I can trust God to provide for me. I can trust God to provide for me because you're going to need something to accomplish the vision that God's given you, right? I mean, I'm just go back to baseball, What's the most basic thing you need for baseball? A baseball, right? It's that simple. What else do you need? A glove, you need a helmet, you need a bat. You need a team. You need people around you to do it. You need bases. You need a field. I mean, these are the absolute basics of life for a baseball player. What do you need for life as a Christ follower? What are the absolute basics that you need to accomplish God's vision for your life? And how does God provide that? One of my favorite verses, Matthew 6:33, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is speaking to his followers. He says this, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And one of the things I want you to notice today is the word all. All right? So if you have it on paper, circle the word all there. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. It is a promise with a condition. He says, if you seek the kingdom first, all these things will be added to you. What are all these things? Well, he talks about the basics of life. You will have the food that you need. You'll have the clothing that you'll need. Basic necessities, which are essential for accomplishing his mission, right? He says, you got to seek the kingdom first. And what is the kingdom? The kingdom of God, we've talked about before, is not a place, it's a relationship. When you're in the kingdom, you are saying, God, I want your rule in my life. I submit to you. I don't want to take my vision and try to make your vision fit within that. I want to have your vision only. What do you see for my life? Why did you put me here on this earth? What am I here for? I want that. I want you to be my king. You tell me where to go. I'll go there. I'll do that. And when we do that, God said, I promise to take care of you. When you have me as your king, I will take care of you. If you want to be your own king, you're on your own. And you can struggle for a while until you figure out this isn't working. And then you'll come back to me and go, your kingdom's the best place to be, God, because it's there that you take care of me. When God says this to us, follow my kingdom. Because my vision for you is what you're here for. Why you were created. What you were created to do and to be. And if you seek that first, I will take care of you. But we all know we need more than the basics of life, right? To accomplish a vision and a mission. We need other things. We need opportunities. We need a chance to show that. We need a job sometimes. We need people in our life, right, to help it happen. We need ideas and inspiration. We need all kinds of things from God to accomplish the vision. And so we need a promise that goes with that. Psalm 34:10, a great promise. God says this, the young lions suffer want and hunger. He was kind of looking out on nature, and I don't know, I don't have young lions in my yard. You might. We have squirrels and chipmunks and turkeys in our yard, right? And they walk through, and there's times they're hungry. And yesterday, we had these turkeys that walked through, and then later in the day, I heard gunshots. I heard shotguns going off, and I thought, somebody took out our turkeys. I hope they'll walk through today. I just don't know. Either that or God provided food for a family. I don't know which is going to happen. But I see them eating out there all the time. And sometimes they're hungry, right? But it says, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. You'll have what you need when you need it to accomplish his vision. When I was in high school, I was convinced that God was going to call me into missions. I don't know if anybody else had that dream. Every time I heard a missionary, I said, God's called me to go. And I had all kinds of places I thought he was going to take me, and I was going to go do whatever he called me to do, and I was going to go to some foreign nation, some foreign continent, and just live and do whatever, and I would get excited about it. Then the vision would kind of fade. I don't know if it happened to you, but the vision would kind of fade. I'd get excited again, and it would pull back. And I just thought that's what God was going to do for me, and he never opened those doors, and he did something different. God pulled me into short-term missions. Entirely different thing, and similar but different, right? I still got a chance to go. I've been able to take over 20 missions trips from the wilds of South Carolina, right, to Ukraine. I've been able to go to Guatemala multiple times, Mexico multiple times, Ecuador twice, Arizona once. And the thing that God has done is I've been able to take over 200 people to experience God at work in other places. And so it's the same but different, right? It's the same but different. And every one of those trips, God has provided. So much so that every trip, one of the things we do, if we have any money left over, we give it away. Because we want to start at zero, because we want to say, God, you're going to take care of us, and we want to see how you're going to do it. And we bless the organizations we went with. I've told you before, I've gone to Ecuador twice. This is how it happened. The first time I was invited to go with Compassion International and Stadia, which is a church planting organization that helped us get started. They paid for it all. It's like, do you want a free trip to Ecuador? I said, sure, let's go. And while I was there, I got to experience what God was doing there. And it was incredible. And I've shared this before. That's where the vision of a learning center came from. As I was fulfilling one vision, God was fulfilling a different one and planting a new one in our heart. The second time we got to go to Ecuador, it was interesting. I had a family member call me one day and said, if you could go anywhere in the world, where would you go? Like anywhere. And it was like, have you ever had someone say that? It's like, I don't know, where would I go? And it was kind of fun exercise. If I ask you today, where would you go? And in the moment, it was, at that time, it was like, well, if I could go anywhere in the world, I think in my heart I would go to Ecuador to see our compassion children because we had them there. And it was like kind of surprised me that I said that. Why not Aruba? Why not Paris? Why not Alaska? Why not Colorado? All these places I always dreamed. But it was like, I want to go to Ecuador. And out of the blue, they said, I'll send you and your family. It's like, well, who can do that? So it cost us nothing to go. And again, we got to go and see our compassion kids and the compassion kids that you sponsor. And it was just an amazing trip. And again, reinforced a new vision for my life and the life of the church to have a learning center like compassion. And I think this is what God does. He shows you a vision that leads you to the next step, and you follow that, and you follow that, and you go, God, what does this look like? So what is the vision that God has for you? And what do you need to fulfill the vision? Do you need people? God provides people. I do not speak Spanish well. Any Spanish speaker will tell you that. I was in a market one time, and I was trying to ask somebody how much it costs, and I said, how much cheese? That's what came out of my mouth in Spanish. It's close. I can tell you how it's kind of close. In my mind, it was exactly. So I kept asking someone, how much cheese for this? And they didn't know what to answer, and so they pulled me off the line. I don't get to translate for anybody. But I've always had translators, and they've been just the perfect person. In Ukraine, the perfect person was a lady that had never heard the gospel. And out of her mouth, she spoke the gospel as I spoke it to her. And she accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. It was like perfect for her at that moment. I had a friend when I went down to Guatemala, Mexico, who grew up as a missionary in Cuba. Think about that. Her family was expelled when Castro came into power. Then she went to South America. Her family was all focused on the kingdom of God. She and her family would go down with us. We would go to these different places, and she would translate for me, and she would add what I left out. And it was such a perfect relationship for that, and it was so cool because God just provided the right person at the right time. Has it ever happened to you? You're doing what God called you to do, and exactly the right time, you had what you needed to accomplish it. You get a letter, you read something, a phone call. This is what you need to accomplish it. And God said, I'm going to do that for you. I'm going to do that for you when you seek first the kingdom. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8 says this, and God is able to bless you abundantly. And here's the word all. So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. When God says, do this with your life, fulfill this vision for your family, for your ministry, for your job, watch him work to bring everything that you need to accomplish that. And I will say this, sometimes God's a little bit slower than we want him to be, right? You ever found that to be true with God? It's usually your limit plus a day, right? Because he's going to push you. But this is why you have the promise. When we worry and we fret and we go, what's going to happen? God goes, remember my promise? You're going to have everything that you need. That's what it says. Everything you need, I'm going to give you that so you can do every good work that I have for you. So as you head out on this vision God has for you, number one, he will provide. I can trust him that. Number two, second promise, I can trust God to guide me. I can trust God to guide me. Because here's the deal. For many of us, he calls us to a vision we've never seen before. Some of you guys grew up in broken families. And you don't know, have never seen, never experienced before you got married, what a Christian, Christ-centered marriage looks like. You've never seen it. You never experienced it. You didn't see it in your home. You had no one model that for you. So you're going, how do I do this? I've never seen it. Some of you grew up in a broken family, and that's all you knew. And you don't know what a healthy family looks like because all that you heard was tear down language, right? That's how your parents treated. It was critical. They put pressure on in the wrong way, and maybe they were alcoholics, and you had to grow up in that world. You don't know what it looks like to have a family centered on Jesus. Maybe every job you've ever had, you were never treated like a Christian should treat somebody. You never experienced that in a job. It was always cutthroat. People were tearing each other down. And God calls you to be a Christian influence in your company. You go, I don't know what that looks like. I've never seen it before. Maybe he calls you to start a ministry. You go, I don't know how to start a ministry. How do you do that? How do you take these steps? I have no idea. It's like, this is scary. You ever been there before? Maybe you never had a model for a person fully committed to Jesus. Never had it modeled for you. And you're going, I just don't know what that looks like. I don't know how you do that. How does that work on a day-to-day basis? I never had anybody teach me how to pray. I never saw someone just fully give everything to Jesus. I have no idea what it looks like. You may go there, but God promises to guide us. Isaiah is just a wealth of promises of God. You'll see a lot of these verses from Isaiah as he's casting vision. God's casting vision through him. And this is what God says through Isaiah. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. And there's more than being physically blind, right? There's spiritual blindness. I can't see what God has for me. He says, I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. You've never walked this way before. You've never seen it. You've never experienced it. But I'm going to teach you. I'll guide you. I will turn the darkness into light before them. Isn't that a great promise? You ever felt like the future looks dark, the way forward you can't see? He says, I will turn the light on for you so you can actually see it. And I will make the rough places smooth. That's a great promise. The rough places will be made smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. As you head off into this new world, whatever it may be, this new vision, you're going to go, I don't know, I can't see it, God. And he goes, I'm going to be there with you. I'll guide you. I'll show you. I will make it smooth for you. You just head out and follow the vision that I've given to you. Jesus gave us a different kind of promise in Matthew 7, 7, and 8. You probably know this one. It's a great one to fall back on when you don't have a vision, when you don't know what to do, when you don't know how to get to where he's called you. And you should know this one, right? So simple. Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone, here's the promise, who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be open. And the original language, you probably know this, we've taught it before, it says really this: ask and keep on asking. Continually ask and it will be given to you, because it doesn't always happen the first time you ask. And if you seek, you will find. If you want to have guidance, if you want to know the way, just keep seeking. You can't just sit there and wait for it. You've got to be looking for it. You've got to be out there and seeking it, and you will find it. And you got to keep knocking over and over. God, I can't see. I don't know where to go. I'm kind of stuck. This marriage isn't quite where it needs to be. This family is not what I envisioned. I can't seem to make this work. I don't have the resources. I can't see the way through. My job, the people are just cutthroat. I don't know how I'm doing any good here. God, I'm going to keep asking you to show up. God, I've failed too many times at being the Christ follower you want me to be. I just keep failing, and I can't see my way out. But you keep asking, God, show me. You keep knocking. You keep seeking, and he will answer it. He always answers. He's always there. That's the thing about God. You just keep going and keep going. This is what I found in my life. Maybe you have as well. I'll pray for guidance, and I'll sit there in the silence, and I don't hear anything. It's just silence. And then a day later, I'm in the shower, and it just suddenly comes to me, this is the way to go. I'm out walking the dog. I'm out hiking. Suddenly in my heart, like this idea comes, this inspiration comes after I prayed about it. It just shows up when I'm quiet. I'll be reading a book. I'll open it up, and it'll be like, that's what I just prayed. I'll listen to a podcast. It's like, that's what I needed to hear. I'll come to church. That's the song I needed to hear. I'll be reading the Bible especially. That's the verse I needed to hear. It always comes in God's timing, but it always comes. And you just have to keep looking for that guidance from God. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, and he will answer. Last Sunday, our Rooted small group, went out to the Fies house, and we did a prayer experience as part of Rooted. And we brought our chairs out, perfect day, sat out there, looked at the pond. But we had set it up, and we said, we're going to pray for an hour. And for some people, praying for hours, are like, how do you pray for an hour? Well, we had some scripture, we had journals, and we sent everybody off in their own chairs. You just go pray. And after an hour, we kind of drifted back. Somebody had to call back or whatever. So what was it like? And I heard from several people, it wasn't long enough. It wasn't long enough. It was like I had so much that God was showing me to teach me, or I need to get out, or he spoke to me in this way, or whatever. It's like God just shows up. Then we prayed for another half hour together as a group, just praying for different things, and God just shows up. He fulfills his promise. If you don't know where to go, you have a vision. This is where I think we should go. It's maybe not fully clear for your family, your marriage, your job, whatever it may be, your ministry, your life. Just sit down with God and go, God, it's just not fully clear. I don't know way to go, but I trust you to show me. Psalm 48, 14, another great promise from God says this, for this God is our God forever and ever. And here's the promise. He will be our guide even to the end. I'm convinced that visions last for a season. Not the vision to be a Christ follower. That lasts for the whole life. But God is continually saying at this season, here's your next step. We don't do the same thing for our whole life. Marriages change, don't they? Kids move out. You get a different relationship. Jobs change. Situations change. Every year, if you're a teacher, you get a different group of kids, right? It's constantly changing. God never changes. And he will be your guide through every step and show you the way to go. So God provides and he guides. And number three, the last one for today, I can trust God to strengthen me. I can trust God to strengthen me. Because here's the deal. You're going to get tired. And you're going to get weary. And it's not easy. For those of us that are parents, it's not easy being a parent, is it? Being married, for me, it's easy. For Stacy, it's hard, right? I mean, it's this way, right? It's not easy. It's just sometimes difficult because we're different people and because we're human beings. Teachers, it's not easy, right? It's not easy. People who own a business, it's not easy. It's scary sometimes. Dealing with people is difficult. You're going to need strength. Baseball, 162 games is a season, plus playoffs. NCAA football, what, 12 games? NFL football, 17 over 18 weeks and all the injuries and stuff. NBA, 82 games. I mean, these are long seasons. The season of life is much longer. And as you put in your time and you go about it, you're going to need God's strength to accomplish what he wants you to do. For those of you that are students, God has a vision for your life. And he has a direction for your life. And I can tell you, like after the years I followed Jesus, it's not always easy. He said, I want you to do this. Great God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pursue this career. And you're going to run into some bumps. You're going to go through school. It's going to be hard, but it's going to be worth it. And God will show up to strengthen you. Here's some promises. Isaiah 40, verse 29 says this. He gives power to the faint. Do you ever feel like fainting? Like you're just done? You just want to lay down and take a nap? Not counting now, okay? But you're like Sunday afternoon, you go home, just I'm just done. Or at the end of the day, you sit down and you just, your eyes close and you go, I didn't even know I was this tired. And sometimes we just carry the burden so long, and then God says, I will give power to the faint. Those that are about to give up, I'm going to be there to them. And to them who has no might, he increases strength. I think a lot of times we think, I've got to muscle my way through this. I've got to make it happen. Here's the vision. I'm going to do this every single day. And we start to figure it out on our own. You ever been there? I'm starting to figure this thing out. I've got it all. I know how to do this. And then you hit something you can't solve. And you don't know what to do, and you're worn out. And God says, you can't do it under your own strength. You need mine. Because you can't change their hearts. You can't make it happen. You can't make this relationship work on your own. But I will give you strength to see it through. And that's what God does. That's why the promises are so important, because you're going to want to give up sometimes. I know I do want to give up sometimes. You're just like, this is hard. This is hard. And that's what life is sometimes. But it's where we see God the most is when it's hard, when we turn it over to him. This is hard, God, but you are here. Isaiah 41:10, and I've used this one so much. I just love it. Fear not, for I am with you. I'm here with you in the midst of this. And here's his promise. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I'm your God. I will strengthen you. When you're tired, when you're worn out, when you just want to quit, when you can't see anything happening, and not only can't you see anything happening, you're going back two steps. It's not two steps forward, one step back. It's one step forward, two steps back. You ever been there? He says, I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Because here's the deal. If it's a vision from God, it's a vision that's God's. If it's a vision from God, it's a vision that's God's. It's up to him to provide. It's up to him to guide. It's up to him to take care of. Our job is to simply follow Jesus. And when you're kind of stuck and you're going, God, I just don't know what to do, he's going to provide for you. He's going to guide you, and he's going to strengthen you. And that's why these promises are so important. Keep them. Get them ready. Get them in your hearts. Be prepared. Because when things are good, things are good. When things are tough, it's time to rely on God's promises. So here we are, kind of a series within a series. This is part one of a series within a series. Six promises that God gives us to help us fulfill his vision. He will provide, he will guide, and he will strengthen. Let's pray together. Father God, today we just pray over anyone that's maybe a little tired, and just pray for your strength. I pray for anyone that's a little lost today, not sure what to do, where to go, who to ask, how to accomplish, what's next. I just pray that you'll guide for them. I pray for anyone that's lacking what they think they need to accomplish it. I just pray for your provision for them. I pray for your strength over all of us. And Father, I pray today for anyone that's here that's like, I don't even have Jesus in my life. So I don't have these promises. I don't know how to fall back on them. I feel for them, Father God, because it's a tough place, but we know that you reach out to them. So it's actually a place of opportunity for them to say, Jesus Christ, I want you in my heart. Help me to live. I need a Savior. So I pray for anyone that's in that position today, Father God. I just ask you to guide us all. Give us a clear vision of what's you want us to do and who you want us to be and how to accomplish those things. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, during second service, you want me to see it, but today during second service, we're going to have a baptism, and I'm really looking forward to it. Two of our little girls that are growing up in the church have decided to commit their life to Jesus. One of the most fun things, I think, to see, most exciting things that we get to do as a church is to see that. So you can watch it online. You can come back if you want to. But it's just a reminder that that's the step we take to say to the world, I want to follow Jesus. And if you haven't been baptized, if you haven't taken that step, if you haven't committed your life to Christ, just be thinking about what do you want Jesus to do in your life? Why do you need a Savior? Why do you need to have that? Because we can't save ourselves. So that happens today. We want to be praying for them and excited to see that. And then again, if you ever, whenever, when you're ready to be baptized, just let us know and we'll set that up. Today for communion, I just want you to think about food for a second, okay? Change direction for a second. We talked about God providing. I want you to think about food, and how much do you think about food? I think about food a lot, probably much more than I should. I think about what we're going to eat for lunch. We usually get the question sometime during the day, what's for dinner? Packing food if you take your lunch, or where do you get to go out? I have like several restaurants. I think kind of rotate in my mind. I want to go to this place. On Wednesday, I'm meeting some friends up in the North Wilkesboro area. We kind of meet there and talk and pray. We go to Qdoba. I've already thought about what I wanted to order. I don't know why this is with me, but I just think about food a lot. I don't know if anybody's with me. You have a football game you're going to watch. What do you think about? What are we going to bring to eat, right? I mean, just you think about that. Go to the fair. What do you think about? What am I going to eat? I mean, it's just on my mind constantly is food. And it's my body craves food more than it should. And yet, I think about food all the time. And I think that's part of being a human being, right? But it's not just our body that needs food. Our spirit needs food, right? And Jesus said this about himself, for the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. He talked about bread to people that were hungry, people that thought about food and they didn't have a lot of choices like us. They didn't have all the restaurants we have. But bread was a staple. If you had bread, you had life. As long as I can have bread, I can eat that, I can live, and it satisfies my hunger, and I feel better, and I have more energy and strength. And Jesus said, there's a bread that comes down from heaven. Feeds your spirit. And you don't have to be hungry spiritually. And you don't have to cry out anymore. You don't have to look for that place. You don't have to look for that spiritual restaurant to get your fill, right? Because so many people do. They go to this restaurant, spiritual place, to get spiritual feeding. They go to that place. They read that thing. They listen to that music. And it doesn't satisfy. It's like junk food. You're hungry again. And Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. Come to me and you'll be satisfied. I'm the bread of heaven and I give life to the world. You're about to eat a really tiny piece of bread. it won't sustain you physically, right? If that's all you're going to eat today, you're going to be hungry. And you're about to drink this little cup of juice, and it won't satisfy you except for the moment physically, right? Because you're going to need more water later in the day, at least 8 gallons of water, whatever they're saying now you're supposed to drink. But you're going to have this little bit of juice, just a little bit of juice, and it won't satisfy your physical body. But Jesus Christ, because of what he did on the cross, he's going to satisfy you spiritually. That's what he does. So after I pray, remember Jesus, the bread of life, who satisfies your hunger and your thirst. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the bread of life, Jesus Christ, and for the day that I met him as my Lord and Savior. And ever since then, he has been my source of everything I've ever needed, everything I've ever turned to. He is the constant in my life. And when my spirit is down and I go to him, I feel refreshed and new and strengthened. I feel ready and able to go to the next thing you've called me to do. But at that moment of just spending with Jesus, he's everything. And I pray during this time of communion, as we eat and drink, we're reminded that, yes, our physical bodies need food and drink, but our spiritual life, our spiritual heart, our soul needs Jesus, the bread of life. Because of his sacrifice on the cross, he opened the door to make it possible for us to know you and to find in you what we're looking for. And we pray this in his name. Amen. If you're a follower of Jesus, it's open for you to have communion together.